Ephesians chapter 4, as we continue to go through this book of the Word of God together to see what God has to say to us, and the few verses that we have tonight, three verses actually, are prefatory to a great section, one of the great sections in the Bible about the Christian life. And when you read all that is said from verse 17 to verse 32 of Ephesians 4, it is just packed full of instruction about your Christian life. And really, it's in those things that are contained in those verses are hardly, if ever, mentioned in the liberal churches of our day. And we look forward to getting there, but there's a step we have to take before we get into all this material. And those are the verses that are before us tonight. Ephesians 4, verses 14, 15, and 16. The Bible says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. God will bless His Word. Let's pray together. Would you ask the Lord for help tonight in your life and heart as I will mine? Father, thank You for this passage of the Word of God. And we're glad that the Holy Spirit has given it for our instruction. And Lord, we know it's not for someone else tonight. It's for us. So we pray that You would give us understanding. Give us enough meekness tonight, Lord, that we may be able to receive the Word of God. And we pray, God, that You would help us to set aside our pride and give attention to what thus saith the Lord. And we pray we'd be a better church because we've heard these verses tonight. Lord, I pray that our lives would be more pleasing to You because we've let these verses enter into not just our ears, but our hearts. And Lord, we'll thank You for the help that You give tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the goal of the Christian life is to grow up into Christ. He says here in verse 15, may grow up into Him in all things. The context of that is verse 12 and 13, that God has given to the church these ministers in verse 11 so that the church might be perfected in verse 12. That they might be made like God wants us to be. That we might be matured by those things which these ministers are doing in our lives. And that the work of the ministry might be done. That we might be edified. Because the goal in the Christian life, look at verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God is trying to make each one of us like His Son. And I know that when Jesus comes, that we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. But you ought not wait till the rapture for you to want to be like Jesus Christ. God's trying to make you like Him now. That's why He's putting ministers in our lives. That's why He wrote this text. He wrote this text to let us know, hey, we can come up to the measure of the Son of God because God has put the Son of God in our hearts. And the Spirit of God dwells within us. And so we need to grow up into Him because He lives within us. And our spiritual maturity is defined in growing up into Jesus. How I measure up to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ is the measurement of my maturity, my spiritual growth. And so that's the goal. That's the goal. Now, look, the spiritual growth and spiritual maturity is not biblical knowledge. I know a lot of people that know the facts of the Bible, but they're not a bit like Jesus Christ. Their spirit's not like Jesus. Their attitude is not like Jesus. You can have all the truths of the Bible and still need to grow up. And that's the message tonight, growing up. We need to grow up. And we need to grow up into Christ. And that doesn't mean I learn a lot more facts. It doesn't mean that I get all these things that some people have a problem with, get them straight out of my life. Now, I think that baby Christians, obviously, a baby Christian has a hard time putting the Lord first in his life or her life. And they have a hard time with their treasures. There's a lot of times people that are babes in Christ, they can't trust the Lord with their money. And certainly, if you've never learned how to tithe and give your money to God, you need to grow up. And you need to learn that you need to trust God. Right? But now, wait a minute. The standard of me growing up into Christ is not whether I've learned to tithe. Certainly, I need to learn to do that. Or learn to give. I need to do that. But the standard, the measurement of whether or not I've grown up in the Lord is, am I coming up to the Son of God in measurement? Is my life conformed to His image? And, you know, some people say, well, I'm spiritually mature. I've been saved this long and I don't smoke and I don't drink and I don't curse and I don't do this, that, and the other thing. I don't corral or go to bars or, well, that's good. Spiritually immature people would do things that are contrary to a life of holiness. But just because that you can check mark some things that you do does not mean you're spiritually mature, because the measurement is, am I like Jesus Christ? Does my life reflect the life of Jesus Christ? And what God wants to do with the whole body. Look at verse 16. The Bible says, from whom the whole body. The Lord is not content with just a few people growing up and being like Jesus Christ and being spiritually mature. He's wanting the whole body. Look at it. Fitly joined together. Now, I look at this verse and there's so many technical words in this verse. I mean, we understand verse 15, grow up, right? Y'all see that in the Bible? Grow up. Now look, I would have said that to the Corinthians. You know what I'm saying? I said, man, if anybody ever need to grow up, it's Corinthians. I mean, they got problems with their haircuts. They're suing each other. I mean, they're messed up in tongues and emotions and their strife and division. If anybody need to grow up, it's Corinth. But you know who he told to grow up? The Ephesians. This is a good church. It's a wonderful church. But just because you're a part of a wonderful church doesn't mean that you've grown up. You personally need to be like Jesus Christ. And look at all these technical words in here. Verse 16. From whom the whole body, watch it now, fitly joined together. Now, this is where God wants us to get as a church. This is where God wants us to get in the Christian life. He wants us to be fitly joined together. You know what that means? That means that you cannot be a mature Christian and you cannot be like Jesus Christ if you can't join together with others that know Jesus Christ. You see that? That means you can't be like Jesus by yourself. Because the whole pattern is, where God's trying to get the whole body, is for them to be fitly joined together. Have you ever thought about that word, fitly? He also uses it in the previous, on this chapter 2. Look at chapter 2. We were there not too awful long ago. Ephesians chapter 2. And again, he's talking about the church, the household of God in verse 19. And he says in verse 21, and he uses that word, in whom all the building, what's the word? Fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. There's your growth again. He's trying to grow the church, but he does it by things being fitly framed together. Or he grows the church by it being fitly joined together. The church cannot be what it's supposed to be if we're not fitly joined together. You can't be like Jesus on an island by yourself. Because if you were, you probably would deceive yourself thinking you were like Jesus because you're the most spiritual one there. But when you have to interact with people, We all find out how fitly joined together we are. Fitly. What does the word fitly mean? The old dictionary says fitly means this. Suitably. Suitably. Now, when I think of suitably as a man, I think of a suit. We use that terminology. This suit fits, right? That means that the pants aren't too long, and the waist isn't too big, and the shoulders are just right. Quit looking at my suit. You're freaking me out. Don't quit doing it. Fitly. In other words, the body of Christ ought to fit. The sizes ought to be right. And it's fitly joined together. You say, well, man, I can't fit there. Well, if you don't grow up, you can't fit anywhere. But if I grow up into Jesus, I start fitting. Does that make sense? Let's keep reading the verse. Wonderful verse. Fitly joined together and... if I wrote the Bible, I wouldn't have wrote this way. And compacted. I won't even tell you what comes to my mind when I think of that word. Compacted. It means pressed. Pressed. Pressed close together. Firmly united or connected. Are you listening to me? God wants His people to be firmly compacted together. Compacted. Pressed down together. Why do we need to be so close? Why do we need to be joined so much together? Because we need each other. Amen. And the rest of the world hates our guts and hates our Savior and hates the Bible and hates the truth. And we need to be fitly joined together and compacted. And too many times, some people that name the name of Christ, they press themselves together with people that don't even know God. Which instead of helping them to grow in the Lord, has the opposite effect. If we want to grow in Christ, and where we want to get is, we want to be fitly joined together, we want to be compacted. You say, preacher, I just don't like people. Well, okay, I know how you feel. But we need to grow up. Keep reading the verse. Compacted. Then he says, by that which every joint supplieth. Now, how many of you have had any joint problems? You know, you can have really good bones. And if you got a bad joint... I mean, you can take the strongest dude in the world and he can have muscles bulging out and bones that are just as hard as a rock. And if his joints messed up, he's gonna walk around like a baby. Oh. It could be your knee joints. It could be your elbow joints. There are joints everywhere. I mean... I got this joint in my thumb right here. Your thumb. Who cares? I just ignore it. You know, after a while, you can't ignore it. So give me a shot. Well, it's just a thumb. Yeah, but that joint hurts. You ever seen these people have problems with joints here? And every time they open their mouth, they pop. Their jaws pop. Joints problems are painful. But you know what the purpose of a joint is? Is to take two parts and let them move. You know what God wants us to do as a church? He wants us to be moving for His glory and for His work's sake and His service sake. And all of us are a joint in that operation. But if something is out of sorts, if there's a problem with the joint, there's pain. Why do I need to grow up? So we'll quit being a pain to the body of Christ. Oh, what does it make a difference if I'm not just like Jesus? Who can be like Jesus? You can if you want to be. Or you can be joint pain. And then all of us will have to take dope to try to get over it. Isn't that what you do when you have all that pain? Every joint supplied. Every one of us have an important part in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep reading the verse. He talks about fitting to join together. I'm talking about growing up, where the Christian growth should take us. Compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. The Spirit of God is trying to work in every part of the church. Every individual, every teenager, every child that names the name of Christ, every young adult that names the name of Christ, every person's marriage, every older person, every senior saint. God is trying to effectually work in every part to bring everybody up to the measure that He wants us in our lives. And it's all important. And that, he says, effectual working. Do you see that? Look at chapter 3. You know, when we don't grow up in Christ, it's because we fight against the working of God in our lives. We fight against what God's trying to do in our heart. In Ephesians 3, he says, verse 7, look at it. Whereof I was made a minister. We saw all those ministers right before this text about helping us to be perfected. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me. Look at it. By the effectual working of His power. You know God's working on you. God's working in your life. He's trying to work in your heart. He's trying to work in your mind. And if you fight against Him, not only will you be the loser, but the body that He's put you in will be the loser. The measure of every part. Keep reading our verse. He says in verse 16, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. God wants us to build up one another. God wants us to edify one another. We ought to be helping one another grow in the things of God. He wants that building to grow, chapter 2, verse 21. He wants our lives to grow. We should never be satisfied where our lives are. And if that's not our goal, the goal of the Christian life is to grow up into Christ. And our text shows us it's dangerous not to grow up into Christ. Look at verse 14 again. He says in verse 14 that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Do you see that? When you don't grow up in the Lord, you know what you make yourself susceptible to? False doctrines. Do you know that a lot of the cults are made up of Baptists that never grew up in the Lord? I mean, that's the truth. That's a true statement. Did you know that the denomination, the Church of Christ, started with a man that was converting Baptists that didn't know their Bible? That's what Alexander Campbell did. He went around and he was made up mostly of people converting them from being Baptists because they didn't know the Word of God. You say, well, if they just learned the Word of God, yeah, but it's not in your head. You know, you understand with your heart, not with your head. And if we're not willing to grow up, the doctrines of this world, the philosophies of this world, will come to bear in my life or your life if I'm not willing to grow in Christ. And everything is a danger to me. There's a danger, look at our verse again, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind. When we don't grow up in Christ, it's dangerous because we're never stable. We're just tossing to and fro, back from one thing to the next, one problem to the next, one issue to the next. But if we'll grow up, it'll cause us to be stable and unmovable instead of easily moved. Easily moved by our flesh, easily moved by the world, easily moved by the devil. God wants us to be unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord, but we can't if we're not willing to grow up. It's dangerous not to grow in Christ. Because you'll be unstable. You're susceptible to the false doctrines. And then look at verse 14. There's something else. He says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Do you see that? In other words, if I don't grow up in the Lord, then I'm in danger of being deceived. I'm in danger of being deceived by other people. The sleight of men. Have you ever seen this guy have these shell games, you know, and they... And you're sure it's there and it's not there. In life, the Bible says there are people that the devil put in your life and they'll deceive you. And the only sure way to save yourself from that deception is to grow up in the Lord and be what God wants you to be. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. You see that? They're cunning. They know what you want to hear. They know what buttons they need to push to get you to listen to them. And the Bible lets us know if we'll grow in Christ, then we can have some safety from that cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Well, how am I going to grow in the Lord? Look at verse 15. But, in other words, I don't have to go this way. Speaking the truth in love. The catalyst against deception, the catalyst against the false doctrine, the thing that will work against those wrong people in our lives that are trying to deceive us, the thing that God will use to help us to grow up into Christ is the truth being spoken in love. It's the truth. It's the love of the truth that helps me to grow up. And some people don't love the truth. But notice, it's not just the truth. He says in verse 15, but speaking the truth. In other words, it's not enough to have the truth. The truth needs to be spoken. That's why we go through the Bible. We go verse by verse through the Bible because we just want the truth to be spoken to our hearts. We want God to deal with us wherever He writes it and whatever He says. The truth is the truth, but it's more than truth. The truth has to be spoken. And then the verse says, but speaking the truth in love. You know, even if it's true, if people don't believe that you care. Now, some people, you can't convince them of that. There were people that didn't think Jesus loved them. And they didn't respond to His love. But we need to do our best to speak the truth in love. We're interested in your heart. We're interested in your life. We're interested in your family. And if we weren't, we wouldn't even say anything. We wouldn't even preach the truth. We'd have a band. We'd go out and have a meal and have no sermon. Be easier that way. But it wouldn't help us grow up into Christ. The Bible says, but speaking the truth in love. And if somehow we can convince people that we love them, and that's hard sometimes. Because the truth, man, the truth is hard to swallow. Especially if it's saying in our verse, grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now here's a question. How do I know if I'm a spiritual child and need to grow up? How do I know if I need to grow up more? Well, you know, a good church always has children in it. Look at verse 14 again. I'm not far from being done. That we henceforth be no more children. He said we. That means there were children in Ephesus. There were people in Ephesus that needed to grow up. Not just Corinth. In other words, Ephesus, though it's a great church, is not just made up of spiritually mature people. Are you listening to me? Some say, well, I just want to go to a church that there's just spiritually mature people. Good churches always have children in them. I'm not talking just about little children in the nursery and children in the Sunday school class. A good church always has a variety of people that are on their journey in the Christian life. Or it's not a good church. Because there's always somebody needs to be saved. There's always somebody that hadn't been saved very long or hadn't been exposed to the things of God very long. There's always children that, well, I don't want to go to a church where there's no children. Well, then go to an old folks home. We love the children. We're glad for the children. We're glad for the newborn babes. He said, well, it's hard to work with the children. It's hard to work with the spiritually immature children. Well, the church children give you a chance to exercise your grown-upness. Without children in the church, you can't show how mature you are. You need to grow up. You know you're a child in a lot of ways. You know you're a child when you can't follow instructions. Children can't follow instructions. Not very well. They're children. You know you need to grow up into Christ when you're picky about your food. Children are picky. You know, I can only hear this person sing or this person preach. Quit being so picky. Get a blessing out of everybody. That's what spiritually mature people do. That's what he tried to say to Corinth. Hey, look, get something out of Apollos' ministry. Get something out of my ministry. Whoever is planting or watering in your life, get some. If it's the Bible, get something out of it. It's a spiritual book. You know, I've had people come up to me and say, preacher, I got a lot out of what you preach. And then they say something, and I didn't even preach about that. Do you know why? I didn't correct them either. You know why that's that way? The Bible's a spiritual book. And the Spirit of God tries to deal with all of our hearts differently. And if our hearts are right, if we're grown up, we can get a help and a blessing out of everything. We're not so picky. You know, you need to grow up in Christ when you can't rejoice over other people's victories and other people's blessings. You know, you need to grow up when other people have to keep cleaning up your mess. I've got a few more here. But I'm looking at this verse, guys, to a good church. In verse 14, it says, that we henceforth be no more children. That's God's word. God wants me to grow in Christ. You know that you need to grow up in Christ when nobody can count on you. You can't count on a child. You know you need to grow up in Christ when you always throw in temper tantrums. You know that you need to grow up in Christ and be henceforth no more children when you can't get along with anybody. Children can't get along with other people. They just fight. Now, after they fight in the nursery, they're okay. But they never get along. Look. Listen, can I help you? If you can't get along with anybody, can you just stop and say, maybe I have a problem. Maybe I need to grow up in the Lord. You know you need to grow up in the Lord when you're overly sensitive. You know you need to grow up in the Lord when you can never admit that you're wrong. You know you need to grow up in the Lord when things are never fair for you. You know what I watched with my mom and dad growing up? They would always defer the best for Joel and I. You know why? Because they were the adults. The children were the ones that were grabbing, wanting things to be right like they wanted them, wanting to be fair. God wants us to grow up so we will not be deceived, so that false doctrines will not invade our lives, so we'll not be so unstable that we henceforth be no more children. Now, if you're a child here tonight, we're glad you're here, but we want you to grow up. And if you've not grown up in Christ, we'll have patience on you until you grow up. But the admonition of the Bible to every individual in this room that names the name of Christ is quit being a child and grow up into Christ. Because so much more can be done in our lives if we grow up. Well, preacher, I'm glad so-and-so need this message. There's the child coming out. Let's pray.